Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW.
Welcome to the party! Oh my God, that's your coming standing!
NXT.
It's over! The cross is here to ransack NXT's soul!
And indie wrestling. It's Wednesday night, Dynamite.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait. And now, your host, Don Tony.
A wise man once said, "You can have your beliefs of what wrestling should be. But I always believed that it could be whatever you wanted to be. Serious, goofy, outlandish, whatever. As long as it makes you feel something. When you get a real reaction, it's untouchable." I love wrestling. Quote, Johnny Gargano. Couldn't agree with him more. Couldn't agree with him more. Good evening, everybody. It is Wednesday night, September 15th. Yes, 9-15, 2021. Can you believe that half of September is already gone? Unbelievable. This is Wednesday Night Dynamite. I am Don Tony, as always. I want to thank you very much for listening. And as you saw for the preview of tonight's show, yes, I dedicated the entire thumbnail for NXT. 2.0 is in the books, and man, are those clickbaiters and haters scrambling. There's an old saying, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. Some people make their bed, now they have to sleep in it. And I watched last night haters that truly make a living crapping on NXT because AEW is the hip thing. It's ECW reincarnated 25 years later. It's a combination of ECW and Ring of Honor and Smoky Mountain Wrestling and Florida Championship Wrestling. They curse. I want to be like that. I want to live vicariously through them. I want to be hip. I want to be cool. Everything else in the world sucks, but AEW is gold. NXT yesterday, totally different show. Have they been paying attention for the last couple of months? NXT is going back to their roots. NXT is focusing on developing the young stars of tomorrow. When the worst thing you could come up with is, oh, why didn't they call him Rex Steiner? What the hell is Braun? Well, maybe his real fucking name is Bronson. Call me Braun for short. Maybe people should have waited until they heard Bronson Rex Steiner tell the world that, hey, I was the one that was involved with coming up with that name. But no, that's what they have to rip apart. Oh, we get crowned an NXT heavyweight champion. Oh, my God. They gave it to freaking Gargano. Ciampa. They gave it to Ciampa, the old man. 36 years old. Younger than a lot of other people who are, some are orgasming over right now. My God, just love it. Just love it. You know, you could be a vacuum cleaner salesman for only so long. And you could try to sell vacuums and try to come off as the best salesman in the world. And sooner or later, everybody is going to own a vacuum. And what the fuck are you going to be left with? Case in point. Adam Cole. Since 1997. Oh, by the way, for everybody who was here a little bit early tonight, yeah, we're going to give away another one of these. Your choice of any CM Punk shirt in the AEW shop store. And one of these. I got many. I got labels. No, they're not fakes. They smell like ice cream. They also smell like like men wearing small shirts or women wearing extra large shirts. And his fat, grimy fingers on his ice cream. Ah, yeah. We'll give that away. Here's the little early hint. I will post it early for everybody tonight and later for everybody tonight. After the show is over, all week, all you got to do is post a comment in the comment section. But, you have to put hashtag WND. And it doesn't stand for weapons of mass destruction. I don't know. Hashtag WND. Put it anywhere in your comment. You can even write DTU suck. Hashtag WND. If your comment is picked live next week on the randomizer, you know I can't finagle the contest. You'll get one of those ice cream labels. Want to keep it, frame it, put it on eBay. You know, I put it in a nice padded envelope with cardboard between the two. I had to ship one to England already. You think that shipping is cheap? So you'll get the ice cream wrapper and you'll get the shirt. Once the CM Punk cards are printed and available for shipping, then we'll talk about giving away a couple of cards. So that's for everybody who's tuned in early tonight. Now you know what you got to do to be part of the contest for this week. Before I get into NXT from last night, before I get into AEW tonight, and let me just say right off the bat, I love both shows. I love both shows. This is not D'Antoni, you know, 2.0 PC. Everything is smells like roses. No, there's a lot of things that suck still about wrestling. But I kind of like focus on the good shit. You know, anywhere you go, you know, there's always going to be great stuff and there's always going to be not so great stuff. But people that want to force the narrative, they need things to suck. They need things to be bad. I'm watching people yesterday, I mean, trying to convince me that it was an awful show, NXT. It was garbage. It was a disaster. It was ridiculously bad. But I thought Braun looked good. But I thought the four-way was decent. Even though we got a bloom, man, I felt bad. I call him Von Bloom. Oh, shit. I almost deleted his picture just to be disrespectful. Talk about a guy that is made for WWE films in a horror flick. This guy is made to be in a horror flick. He just looks like one of those evil, perverted killers. Speaking of evil, perverted killers. Congratulations, Indy Hartwell, Dexter Gaylord Loomis, Mr. and Mrs. Dexter Gaylord Loomis. They marry. I love the wedding hatchet. People that don't know, yes, it is a gag of giving hatchets away to groomsmen. You know, a lot of people didn't understand the joke because they can't even get. How do I say this the right way without sounding like Chris Jericho tonight? They can't get it. Is that the right way to put it? They can't get it. And I mean male and female. So triggered tonight. Oh, a comedian can say those terrible words. I could watch a movie with those terrible words. I could watch acting. I could watch Jersey Shore. I could watch all this stuff with those terrible words. But you put it on my wrestling screen and I can't sleep tonight. Oh, I'm going to need some hot chocolate and a massage. I'm going to have to rub my temples for 45 minutes, and maybe I can forgive and forget. What happened to this promotion that's supposed to be so, you know, so everybody and everything's accepted, this and that? Shut up. From the time the show starts to the time the show ends, it is enter-fucking-tainment. These babies. Adam Cole. You know, everyone, the guy who is main evented, and I have been saying for 3.5 years, not the first 6 months of his career in WWE, because I didn't pay attention to Adam Cole right at the beginning. But for 3.5 years, I said that guy was the MVP of NXT, period. I got 100-plus shows backing that comment up. People online, for the last 3.5 years, he could have 4-star matches, 4.5-star matches, 5-star matches. He could fight the top of the top. Everybody, doesn't matter. But for a select group out there, no matter what Adam Cole did in NXT, they always viewed Adam Cole as this. A midget in front of Marco Stunt. That's how they always viewed Adam Cole. You know, the guy at the gas station, the guy that can't even pump your gas because he's too short to grab the pump. You know, can I get a step stool so I could reach the toilet? That's how people portrayed him for 3.5 fucking years. Now, because he's AEW, oh my God, people have chills going down their spine. Baby! Baby! There's only so many vacuums you could sell. The fuck out of here with that stuff. I know I'll never get the most views over here. I know I'll never get the most likes. I know I will not get any support. But one thing you will always get here is authenticity, and you will always get hard work and research. This is very important. Trust me, this is so important to me. I'll never do another show again if I don't say this. I have passed up reports and rumors that I knew was bullshit. And I passed it up because it's not worth talking about nonsense. I would think everybody coming here would like to hear honest opinions, even if you disagree with them. But you would like opinions based on facts, not based on bullshit. There are so many thumbnails and clickbaits and titles and stuff like that that I could have put on here and discussed. Mick Foley, disrespecting WWE. Oh my God, he just took a picture with Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch a couple of days ago. Well, they must be irate with him. He's entitled to his opinion. But everybody else has got to make it a major news blockbuster story because they're the National fucking Enquirer. That's what they are. It's not even dirt sheets. Dirt sheets were the newsletters that you bought, that you were supposed to read things that no one was supposed to tell you. See, people have clouded the definition of dirt sheets. When I subscribed to newsletters years and years and years before I even got into a wrestling hotline in 1997, dirt sheets were, oh my God, see what Meltzer said and this and that? I've been a Meltzer fan for decades. I still am. I disagree with some of his stuff, but I'm still a fan of Meltzer. But the dirt sheets was the gossip and a lot of truths. But when they were unsure about something, they didn't just publish it anyway, just to go with it. Case in point, Adam Cole. All you have watched and read for 2+ weeks is WWE pitched to Adam Cole to be a heel manager for Keith Lee. You have people making it the major news story on their sites, doing the story over and over and over again, leading their blockbuster award-winning shows. And as I'm watching all of this, and I see people writing, and a few of you even super chatted me, and I felt bad because I didn't want to answer it, and I did the respectful thing, and I said, look, I don't want to be first. I want to be right. I'm not going to comment until I know if it's true. And as I'm reading all this stuff, you know what kept going on in the back of my mind? Adam Cole, Twitch. Playing video games. Story time with Adam Cole. None of these Nimrods ever thought that Adam Cole wasn't going to address that on his podcast, on his Twitch, whatever he does. Did they think that he would just sit there and just let everybody say what they said? So TV Insider interviews Adam Cole. So what does TV Insider say to him? Oh, what's the deal with this, you know, you being pitched from Vince McMahon to manage? And Adam Cole's exact words, quote, I personally have never heard anything regarding that with the manager. I've touched base a little bit on how my meeting with Vince McMahon went really, really well. We talked for about 30 minutes. He had a lot of complimentary things to say. As far as hearing that specific thing, that was not something I heard about. For my 4 years with NXT, they were fantastic. My 4 years with WWE was awesome. But at the end of the day, I wanted to end up in AEW. Now that I'm here, I'm stoked. Now you got Sean Ross Sapp, which I never liked. But for the last couple of months, I'm starting to see that he is one of the most legit, honest people out there. Yes, he points everybody to his pay sites, but at least the motherfucker works for you. At least he searches for the answers. He contacted quite a few people that he is friends with in WWE. You know what they all said? We never heard anything about Adam. What do you think? Vince McMahon told Leroy the janitor, Manuel the chef, Tony the garbage man. I had to put a Tony in there so nobody says, hey, why are you going to choose black and Spanish names for low-paying jobs? It's weird. The person himself knew nothing about it. And I'm watching all these people for 2 weeks, and I'm saying to myself, sooner or later, Adam Cole is going to address this. And if Adam Cole comes out and says, yeah, they pitched that to me, I didn't like it, blah, 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 then I would have reacted to it. Like, I see, I have the key. I stole it from Riddle, who got it from Randy Orton. When stuff like that comes out and I don't know the answer, I sacrifice a lot of views, a lot of followers, money. But I always said this since 1997. I don't want to be first. I want to be right. It was bullshit, everybody. It was bullshit. What's the next thing they're going to lie to you about? You want to keep falling for it. You want to keep running to those sites so you feel you have a place just to yell at the top of your lungs. There's some people out there that need that ammunition, need a reason to say, fuck you, Bruce. Fuck you, Vince. Fuck Triple H. Yeah, triple bypass H. Ah! I will sacrifice viewers, hits. Look, 1/3 of my audience left just now. You think I give a fuck? I care about the people that tune into these shows because I want to give you the truth. I'm not going to sit here and yell foul and shitstorm and, oh my God, how could you do that to the best wrestler in the world next to Kenny Omega? You put him in a fucking manager role? Why don't you just call him Johnny Polo while you're at it? Oh, yeah. It was all a lie. Oh, Keenan, thank you. I had a buffering problem. That's why 1/3 of my viewers left. I'm sorry, everybody. My apologies. That makes me feel a little better. Makes me a little feel. Well, we are having some bad rainstorms tonight. So, Devin M., welcome. Thank you. My apologies. But anyway, I don't like being lied to. Sooner or later, people are going to get sick of it as well. So anyway, enough of that out of the way. Let's talk about AEW and NXT. Got my notes. Actually, no. This is last week's stuff. Got my notes in a computer. All right. Let's talk about AEW first. Now, right off the bat, Rampage next Friday is going to be 2 hours. I know a lot of people fantasized. Wait a minute. Rampage starts at 10 o'clock. Is it possible they may start at 9 and overlap SmackDown? Could we see them go head-to-head with SmackDown? Tony Khan isn't stupid. No, he's starting at 10. Now, the interesting thing about it is Arthur Ashe Stadium, you know, it can go very late. But, you know, going until midnight plus is very interesting. I'm not saying that this is going to be it, but it would not surprise me if maybe there's a little bit of a delay. Maybe they start a little bit earlier, maybe an hour earlier, and then we see it maybe on an hour tape delay, which I don't think there's any issues with that. Because here, look, they're going to be next week right in my hometown, Queens, New York, my vicinity. So having them finish at midnight, then you got to have their biggest crowd ever leave that building, leave the parking lot. Yes, it's a weekend, but for Arthur Ashe Stadium, I don't want to work till 3 a.m., 4 a.m. So we'll see what happens if there's going to be a tape delay. But, Rob, I know you want a little attention. Please tell me where I'm wrong. You know, if you're going to tell me where I'm wrong and you have an opinion, I totally respect that. You know, that's the beauty of what we do here. I love engaging with everyone. But don't just say, DT, you're wrong. And then don't tell me what I'm wrong about. I'm not saying that there's going to be a tape delay, if you're referencing that. I'm just saying that it's very interesting that they're going to go past midnight here in New York. If there was a time difference, that's different. So I'm curious to see how they're going to pull that off. But by the way, I know some of you are starting to get your Daphne stuff and the prizes for the last 2 weeks. I'm glad you're all enjoying it. Much love and thank you. So next week we have 2 hours of Rampage. And look, man, I get it. They're coming to New York. It's going to be the biggest week of AEW outside of pay-per-view. Even their initial launch, the curiosity factor was there. But now you have a loyal fan base and trying to build on that. So this coming week is going to be AEW's biggest week. And I got news for you. All of the matches that they're showing, they are doing what they should be doing. They're putting on their best tucks and they're giving top quality names. They're featuring all the major players. They're mixing in some young stars as well. Let's not forget that. It's very, very important that they are still mixing in a lot of their young stars. Nice balance, really nice balance. The one thing AEW has got to be careful about is, what are you doing with Rampage? Because remember the original idea of Rampage, you know, when you go from Dark to Elevation to Dynamite, and Rampage pretty much was, you know, what you couldn't do during the week and give some women opportunity. Remember that? You know, no disrespect with the Bunny, you know, wrestling again on Rampage. But, you know, honestly, what have I been saying about Layla Hirsch? You watch Layla Hirsch in NWA, Layla is legit. You watch her in AEW, Layla is treated like shit. She had a semi-competitive match tonight with Jade Cargill. But, I mean, you put her on Rampage. Let her get a bunch of impressive wins. She don't have to be in Jersey to get a nice win. I'm just using her as an example. What is Rampage going to be? Is this going to be Dynamite Light? If that's what they want to do, go ahead and do it. But they have to create an identity for Rampage. And they got to be careful too. Because look, last week, Rampage was in the sixes. And that's pretty much the range that we said. We said between 550 and 7 should be their average. Some people think that's extremely low. Those are the same people that expected 1.8 million in CM Punk's debut, not realizing what we said all along, that CM Punk, a lot of AEW fans were already CM Punk fans. And a lot of CM Punk fans were already AEW fans. You didn't have this giant group of people sitting out there that, you know, just weren't watching AEW, but didn't watch CM Punk either. And now you have Bryan Danielson. Then there's rumors, who knows, about Bray Wyatt and others. You know, expect something with Wyndham, because that's what he's using as his name online right now. Expect something from Bray Wyatt in the next month and a half. In fact, if I was a betting man, Jesus, isn't Halloween on Friday? Isn't October 31st on a Friday? No. Oh, no, it's not. It's a Sunday. Oh, that sucks. I thought it was a Friday. Oh, I know why. I know why. Because it next Friday is 9/24 day. And I was thinking 7 days ahead, 7 days the 31st, but we're in September, not October. So I would have him show up right around Halloween. Just an idea. So Rampage next week, 2 weeks, 2 hours. Dynamite, they are stacking the card. Now, I don't think Kenny Omega versus Bryan Danielson next week is for the title. Because during that promo exchange, you know, Brian was making it sound like, you know, it's not really about the title. He just wanted to fight, you know, the best. So, you know, we may actually see Bryan Danielson pinning Kenny Omega next week. Hopefully we don't get too much of a clusterfuck coming out of there. But I got news for you, man. Adam Cole teaming up with the Young Bucks next week. Even though down the line we think Adam Cole is going to turn on the Elite, but still, Adam Cole with the Young Bucks, I expect them to get cheered out of their asshole, to say it bluntly. So, let's get into AEW a little bit more. By the way, tomorrow night, Q&A, AMA, you know, whatever is on your mind, you'll be able to call in, want to talk about both shows. We're going to go through these cards. I'm just giving you my overall thoughts. You really should tune into both shows this week. There's something, I think, you know, for everybody. AEW tonight, you know, if you look at the matches, you know, very interesting on the match selection. Last week, there was only 4 or 5 matches on Dynamite. This week, for the first hour, we only had 2 matches. You know, the first match was obviously awesome with Adam Cole defeating Frankie Kazarian. You know, but 2 matches in 1 hour, a lot of promos, a lot of interviews. But guess what? Everybody's enjoying it. Why not? Why not? Now, I do want to say one thing. And I also want to get into a couple of super chats as well. I want to explain something to everyone out there that a lot of places are not discussing. And I'm sincere when I say this. I just don't think they understand the revenue side of it. See, 200,000, making 200 grand in WWE is not the same 200 grand from 5 years ago. And I say this with the utmost sincerity. You find it weird that so many people who are not working for WWE, who weren't working for WWE 10 years ago, 8 years ago, 6 years ago, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 2 years ago. You find it interesting that up until like 4 years ago, that almost none of these people did podcasts for the most part. Now every son of a wants to do a podcast. Everybody has a Patreon. Everybody has a Twitch channel. Everybody's doing this. And yes, playing video games and socializing with people is very, very important for mental health. It is an escape. I am not questioning that in the least. Believe me when I tell you, a lot of these wrestlers who like to play even simple games and just chat with fans, AJ Styles and others, that is such a release. That is something that you didn't have 20 years ago, because 20 years ago, wrestlers would treat their social time much differently. Sure, 20 years ago, you didn't have the capabilities of doing the gaming like you can online right now. But the one thing that a lot of people really need to understand, seriously, is revenue from Twitch, revenue from YouTube, revenue from even just ads, advertising in podcasting. 5 years ago, you make 200 grand with WWE. You had to pay a lot of your own travel on your own dime. You would be away from home 5-6 days out of the week. Even though you didn't wrestle 5 times a week, you still, with all the travel, and by the time you got home, and you got to lay in your bed, it was time to pack and get ready for your next tour. So even if you leave WWE, and this is so important to understand, when you see someone leave WWE, use Miro as an example. I know a lot of people really question when he left, and it's not, you remember me saying, you know, these people who can't even get a good job for themselves, they're telling Miro what he should do and not do. But when these guys or gals leave a high-paying job like WWE, where the schedule is really strenuous, and then work for a company and get half the money you were making before, but you could sit on your computer and podcast for an hour and make thousands of dollars a week in revenue. Donations, super chats, ads, whatever they do on Twitch. They make some make thousands of dollars. I mean, you remember the reports of what Paige was making on Twitch and others. So I ask you, even if your dream job was WWE, if you had the choice of touring around the world and making that kind of money, or you sign with another company, you work half the schedule you used to, and you could get all that made up money by sitting on a computer, playing video games, or just chatting. Talk about wine. Talk about life. Talk about food, talk about video games, talk about whatever you want. So it's not just, you know, the social and the mental health part of it, but there's a big financial reason behind it as well. And I personally think that as long as WWE does not allow or tweak their contracts to let these wrestlers do little things on their social time that does not confuse fans or does not use their character to profit even further. Like when they're doing their video channel, yeah, they might have to use their real name. And sure, they're recognizable. But as long as it doesn't come across as a WWE channel, you're going to see more people leaving. You're going to see more people leaving, especially in this world that we're still dealing with COVID. But a lot of unrest, with a lot of friction, a lot of tension in this world, and your safe space might be outside of the wrestling ring, home with family, going in front of the camera, engaging with your fans, trying to feel like a normal human being. The more WWE does that and sticks to their guns, you're going to see people leaving more and more and more. Because trust me when I tell you, there are some people who have left WWE and made more money by working part-time for other companies, gaming, and podcasting. Believe me. Believe me. So, Adam Cole beats Frankie Kazarian tonight. My God, that pop for Adam Cole. See, a lot of people forget Adam Cole was huge on the Northeast with Ring of Honor and everything. I mean, Adam Cole is very beloved, not even just on the Northeast, but came out to one of the loudest pops. I mean, when you hear, one thing you could be certain tonight, AEW piped in nothing. The only thing they piped in tonight was entrance music. He got a loud pop. But you know what? The fans were respectful for Frankie Kazarian also. During the match, Frankie Kazarian used the super kick. I don't know if anybody caught that. I got a kick out of it because I honestly don't recall Adam Cole much or even ever using a super kick while he was in NXT. So he wins. Then he cuts a promo and issues a challenge for next week. And next week, it's going to be Adam Cole and the Young Bucks versus Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, and Christian Cage. And Adam Cole finishing up his promo, he says the super click is back. And there isn't a damn thing that anybody could do about it. And, you know, a little references here and there, which I have no problem with. You know, Adam Cole, I think it reminded me a lot of Malachi Black. When he did his first live interaction on a podcast with fans, they were expecting Malachi Black to crap all over WWE and creative for letting him go. The guy was a consummate professional. Just don't criticize those people. They were doing everything they could for me. Wow. A lot of people weren't expecting that. They were waiting for the jugular. Same thing with Adam Cole. They expected Adam Cole to go for the jugular and just tell WWE off to the fans. No, he was consummate professional about it as well. Doing a little joke, a little dig on TV, nothing wrong with it. Even Christian Cage saying that he came from development, they dragged his ass out of development. And then he said, Adam Cole, you're used to losing Wednesday Night Wars. Let's add Fridays to that list. My God, I watch people getting triggered online. Can AEW just shut the fuck up talking about WWE? There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. I see people always bringing up ECW One Night Stand. And when Paul Heyman cut that infamous promo and he was ragging on the WWE wrestlers and ragging on Bischoff and ragging on others, and people still have that on their playlist 16 years, 15 years later. And it's no different. It's no different. I think the only people that should take it personal are the ones that the insults are directed to. I think fans take it way too personal at times. There's nothing wrong with a little friendly trolling. I mean, even when Hall and Nash went to WCW and they would shout out their friends that were still in WWF, you know, I mean, it was almost like, hey, do you see what you're missing here? We got a party going on over here. No, they were just having fun, man. Trust me, no one in WWE, if Christian Cage ever has the opportunity to go back to WWE, trust me, if he has a meeting with Vince, I think Vince is just going to sit back in his chair, hit the remote, and then play that clip of Christian Cage saying what he said tonight to Adam Cole about losing Wednesday Night Wars. Come on. Seriously? No. No. But excellent match tonight. A lot of fun. Adam Cole, look, no one should have been surprised at the level of quality we got in Adam Cole versus Frankie Kazarian tonight, because Kazarian is a top guy. Yes, you know, towards the tail end of his career, but Adam Cole has been an MVP for NXT for 3+ years. No ring rust. Just for Kyle O'Reilly. You know, bullshit end to that match, but still, guy's at the top of his game still. So we got exactly what we expected tonight. Fun match. Could not complain at all. We get two promo segments tonight. Fuego del Sol, because he got the contract, he got a brand new Hyundai, and he's with Sammy Guevara. The end result is Fuego gets a rematch with Miro, I think, on Friday for the TNT title, and this time Fuego puts his Hyundai up. I don't know what Miro would want to do with the Hyundai, but okay. Now, if Miro wins that match, I want Miro to take a sledgehammer and crush. You know what I would love? I'd love the Sid Vicious moment. Remember when Goldberg in WCW took Sid Vicious's rental car and compacted it into like a little, it's like the size of like a Klondike bar, and he's jumping on it, Goldberg! Oh, man. So we're going to get that Friday. No problem with it. I told you, Fuego del Sol reminds me of a 1-2-3 kid. That's what it reminds me of. Way before Sean Waltman became X-Pac, you know, maybe even Lightning Kid to the 1-2-3 Kid. That's what he reminds me of right now. And there's nothing wrong with a character like that. I'd rather see Fuego del Sol put up a fight against someone than Marco Stunt. Nothing against Marco Stunt, but my God. I mean, I know this is a Photoshop, but even this picture, Marco Stunt looks like he's 6 feet tall. Seriously. Now we get MJF. Still calling Melanie Pillman, Methanine Pillman. You know, like I said last week, Brian Pillman, the loose cannon, probably would have loved every minute of it. I think out of all of this, the only person who's probably pissed off about all of this is Melanie Pillman. But MJF coming out there tonight and cutting a promo, and, I mean, nuclear heat, reminded me of old Dudley's stuff from the 90s when they would just bait people to come in the ring. Come on! Come on! Oh, my God, could you imagine if the Dudleys said the things on the mic that they said in the 90s? Can you imagine if some of these fans of today watched even the watered-down promos on the ECW pay-per-views where they had to tone it back a little bit? Oh, my God. Can you imagine if they were doing what they were doing back then today? So MJF, people are acting like they've never seen anybody say things like this. It's old school. It's very, very, very low, low class, low blows, very offensive. You know, you think about it, anybody gets on the mic that gets the permission to say the things that MJF said should get nuclear heat. Seriously. I mean, I'm not in 2021, you know, I don't think using a joke, you know, which one is on top, like Jericho said to America's top team, whatever, Dan Lambert's group. Didn't bother me. But I watch people online say, I swear to God, I'm not kidding. If you think I'm lying, just Google or search Twitter, the exact phrase I'm about to say. I saw people with tens of thousands of followers write tonight, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. What the fuck is wrong with you? Seriously. It's a form of entertainment. MJF. They're popping for him calling Melanie Pillman a methadone addict that she should have swallowed 100 people's loads. But Jericho makes a remark like, I can't sleep tonight. That's selective outrage, man. Oof. God. But MJF tonight getting nuclear heat. Asshole chants. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. My favorite part of MJF's promo is when he was talking to Brian Pillman. And he looks up, trying to tell Brian, talk, put some sense in your son. And then he's like, nah. And he looks on the floor like Brian Pillman is in hell. And he said that Brian Pillman and Methanine Pillman, they created the worst excuse of a second-generation wrestler. You know, the Brian Pillman Jr., hitting the ring after, it was okay. It just seemed like the timing was off a little bit because, you know, he hit the ring and was a little slow to try to wail MJF with the chair. And then you had Wardlow get involved and he, you know, knocks Wardlow for a moment. Wardlow gets pissed and he's like, oh. And then Pillman was acting like, you know, let's wrestle. Let's wrestle. I don't know. But I wish they would have done this with Pillman right after Dark Side of the Ring. I mean, I know right now leading into season 3, there's going to be a lot of repeats of the Pillman episode. But you almost feel like maybe this should have been done a few months ago. But hell, you'll be in New York next week. Biggest shows ever. Why not, right? Why not? Franchise, you don't really need profanity. You really don't. But dude, you look at movies. You got movies that are rated G, rated PG, rated R. And when you look at why it's rated R, strong language. You know, some forms of entertainment choose to use profanity. Wrestling is another form of entertainment. So you could even see, like, Bryan Danielson. Never really cursed in WWE. Was never allowed to. You go to AEW, it's almost like one of the things that you got to do when you show up there, when you get on the mic. Somebody, at some point, like right at the beginning, okay, all right, you're excited to be here. All right, yeah, I want to challenge the world. Asshole. Piece of shit. Shit. Ass. Bullshit. Like, everybody's got to throw an expletive. Get it out of your system. I don't care about that. But let's not say what everybody was trying to say a couple of years ago, that AEW is going to be this special, caring promotion about equal this and not hurting people's this and not mocking this and not doing that. Because once the show starts from bell to bell, from blah 01 p.m. to blah 59 p.m., oh no, it's just an act. We don't really feel this way in real life. AEW is no different than WWE, Ring of Honor, MLW. You know, when you go to see a movie, you know, there's all different types of movies, but at the end of the day, they're all movies. So AEW is just like the others, but they're all wrestling, but different form. They use profanity. Get used to it. And also take note that TNT is allowing it. That's another thing you got to take notice. And you know what? Good ratings, big ratings, kind of get you a little bit of pull. Get you a little bit of, you know, they were doing crappy ratings, trust me. You know, some investors that might not be too thrilled about the salty language. Yeah, but look at these demos. Look at the crowd. When I said 3 years ago, this is going to be the first millennial promotion ever. I think it's safe to say about 80% of that crowd are millennials, maybe more. So they're catering. They're catering to millennials. They know they have fan base. That's why I said for a couple of weeks now, the NXT, as long as they stay on cable TV, their biggest threat is catering to the demo they're trying to attract. I don't think NXT is trying to attract the 50 and over crowd anymore. Last night, you know, they're trying to establish a lot of stars of tomorrow. And doesn't feel like it's being directed to 50 and over, but yet the 50 and over crowd is NXT's biggest demographic. What happens when you lose that 50 and over demographic? What are the numbers going to look like then? So NXT, they got to try to build some of the other groups so they don't lose viewers. So, FTR over Matt Sydal and Dante Martin, a decent match. You know, not a bad match. I think next week we're getting Darby Allin and Sting versus FTR. Because a little bit later, and I know I'm jumping a little ahead, but Sean Spears took on Darby Allin. And I, at some point, because that match, since it started so early, and yes, AEW has gone off the air with a lot of Darby Allin matches in the past. A lot of us thought that Moxley and Kingston were going to open up Dynamite tonight. But Darby and Spears, they started at 10:20. Match went shorter, I think a lot of people thought, but it did what it needed to do. And Darby Allin beat Sean Spears, and then right after the match is over, FTR hits the ring. And they're just laying it in on Darby Allin. Sean Spears, early in the match, tries to wipe off all the face paint of Darby Allin as an insult. FTR then grabbed the towel and started wiping off Sting's face paint. Tully Blanchard, God bless him, but a Hogan-like chair shot, if anybody's ever seen Hulk Hogan throw chair shots. Oh, my God. If this is a chair, this is Hogan. That's the, right? If Hogan is like, Tully Blanchard tonight to Sting. But hey, they did the spike pile driver to Sting, laid his ass out. So it looks like we're getting those four guys next week. That chair shot was, I cannot criticize Tully Blanchard, man. He's done so much good shit in his career that's entertained me. Him just going up to Sting and going, I don't know how that sounds on the microphone. I'm sorry for the audio only. Like, what's this guy doing? By the way, if you missed our Monday show, Mish was having a good time Monday. I still haven't gotten from him the name of the app that he used. But he used some type of app Monday. He turned into a fork. He turned into an eggplant, a potato, an alien, a child. It's like some of the funny. I know that Snapchat had things like that, but I never saw that live on a podcast like that, that he snaps a finger and he's doing an eggplant. Oh my God, I couldn't. I watched some of the show back and I was looking at the chat room and I saw a lot of people writing like, how has DT got a straight face right now and not laughing his ass off? Because when you see me looking this way, when I see Mish, he's in a screen over here. How I have my computer set up is here is where the chat room is right now. Here is where my notes and super chats are. Here is my configuration and what's streaming in the pictures and where I see Mish. So if I'm looking this way, I can't see him. And sometimes I would just glance over there and I see a fork going like this. And I'm like, oh my God, you missed it. You got to go check it out. It's funny shit, man. So FTR laying out Darby Allin and Sting. So, again, I think we're getting that match next week. Next week, we're also getting Moxley and Kingston versus Lance Archer and Minoru Suzuki. Now, people are still asking me, what the hell is the Suzuki incident? Simply put, I didn't pull out of research on this. I didn't think it was needed. From what people said to me, and I looked online, when AEW did not play Minoru Suzuki's theme music in its entirety, that a fan, I don't know if it was head of a New Japan fan club or whatever, but a fan on Twitter got very, very upset at AEW for doing that and called it the Suzuki incident. So everybody ran with it. And you had, oh, so-and-so comments on the Suzuki incident. This person has it. And it was all made up stuff. But people were exaggerating to have fun with it. So AEW noticed it online and decided to have some fun with it also. And they wrote online, CM Punk will comment on the Suzuki incident. And tonight they played more of his theme music, if you notice. But it took a life of its own. It took a life of its own. Yeah, look, of course AEW had to cut it at some point. This isn't New Jack Natural Born Killers where, you know, the match is going and the music is pumping you up and there's violence and this and that. You know, in Japan, that song kind of fits more. In the United States, it sounds like a song from Japan. It's not a song that a lot of people know, that they're going to sing it like soon Ruby Soho's music or Jericho's music or something. It's a cool song. But, you know, at some point you got to cut it. Now, the fans sang some of the chorus tonight. They sang some of the chorus. But we got an appearance from Suzuki tonight. Interesting little brawl at the very end to set up next week. I want to see a stipulation added to this. Come on. Tony Khan. I know he probably doesn't tune into these shows ever, but Jesus Christ, you got to have a New York street fight. You got to have a New York street fight. Come on. Maybe they'll do it with Santana and Ortiz, but you got to do one. We got to have some street fight somewhere. Some stip. More Dark Order stuff. I don't know, Anna Jay versus the Bunny Friday. No disrespect, but I don't know. I mean, I know that the storyline with the Dark Order is Evil Uno, the power's gone to his head. and Alex Reynolds disappears for a couple of weeks. He comes back, and he's arguing with Eva Luno, and Anna Jay's trying to cut a promo, and Eva Luno interrupts, and they're arguing with each other, and Anna Jay is like, if you're going to keep acting like this, I don't want you by my in my corner. And fucking John Silver has nothing to do with it. He's like, what about me? What about me? It's just, I don't know, it just felt like really, really forced. It felt like people reading a script. I don't know. A lot of people want to see Bray Wyatt be the leader of the Dark Order. I don't know. We'll see. They recapped Pac versus Andrade. Idolo! He's not the boss, everybody. He the kingpin. I the kingpin. They tore it up Friday. His only a second match in over 3 months, but they tore that shit up. But please, do not give me promos now for 3 weeks. I'm the kingpin. Remember when I said every 3 weeks activity with Idolo? Can we see more, please? Okay. Malakai Black. I don't know who Rosario Dawson is. Guess she's a host from the big show. Malakai Black comes out. Awesome entrance. Music is freaking phenomenal. He's sitting in the ring. Crowd. Malakai Black is over. We have an enemy amongst us. And it's fucking Rosario Dawson, a host of the big show. And she's wearing the Cody logo, the sweatshirt, the Nightmare Family, whatever it is. And she's the enemy. Now, I don't know. You know, her jumping on Malakai Black and doing the Rocky Balboa with Thunder Lips for that long, you know, because Cody had to make the, not just the entrance to ringside, but he had to be 95 rows up. So the spotlight, like, watches him go down. My God, Cody gets really upset for a woman who jumped the ring, jumped the guardrail, who had no business jumping the guardrail. We didn't see Brian Pillman's sister or daughter, like, jump the guardrail last week. She jumps the guardrail. Yeah, you should get your ass kicked. Nobody jumps the guardrail, but she jumps the guardrail. She's doing the Rocky Balboa on Thunder Lips thing. Cody goes down the side of the building, down the rampway, you know, where the fans are, and hits the side, and they start brawling. But they did have a fabulous brawl outside, up the building, apparently out of the arena, hitting each other with beers, low blows, high blows, punches, kicks. Crowd loved it. Saw a couple of familiar faces. Shout out to all of you. Some of you already sent me some pictures, so pretty good. I thought she did a fine job, but, you know, just jumping the guardrail like that, unless, you know, they plan on putting her in some type of a match, I don't know. I thought that was a bit much, but I can't complain what she did. She looked fine at what she was doing. But my only problem with it was, remember what I said last week? You know, it was funny. Somebody really grilled me last week when I said Malakai Black should have kept beating down Dustin Rhodes last week, and then Cody should have showed up and grabbed the boot that Malakai Black took from him and put the boot back on and say, in New York, I'll see you in New York. Cody doesn't even show up last week. So Cody doesn't show up for his own brother, but he shows up for the co-host of the big late show. You know, storyline. Think storyline here. Which one makes more sense? Cody coming to the aid of his brother Dustin? Or a host who's wearing a sweatshirt that for some reason jumps the guardrail because Malakai Black doesn't like what she's wearing? Just expressing an opinion. Okay. Dan Lambert in the ring. Scorpio Sky, Ethan Page, Junior Dos Santos, Andre Arlovsky, and Kayla Harrison. I think I got all the names right. He's doing his Jim Cornette thing. he's basically making fun of the fans that when he was younger, how you knew what merchandise was selling was go by the merchandise table. And he says he goes there now, and the only shirts that sell out are the ones in men's extra small and women extra large. People get triggered. And then he's talking about how all these marks and goofs, you know, they take their allowance to see 160-pound wrestlers jump, climb three stories high and jump and do 85 flips to kick out at two. You know, this is Jim Cornette stuff. He's mocking the people that whine and complain online when everybody kicks out at two over and over again. They're trying to turn it into a storyline. Dan Lambert is great on the mic. Not even going there. He's great on the mic. He's smooth. He doesn't slip up. You almost feel like he believes everything he's saying. So they want someone to challenge Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page. Jericho's music hits. The fans start singing Judas. And he's like saying, no, 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 stop that song. They don't even know the words to the song. Rojo Bear, what's up, my friend? Welcome back, my friend. By the way, everybody, Super Chats, I'll get into them in a moment. I just want to finish up the AEW recap first. So Lambert is interrupted by Jericho. And Jericho, although he triggered some people saying about America's top team, which one of you is on top? It was a play off the word America's top team, but a lot of people got triggered by that. He says that Dan Lambert looks like a fat old man, like Bobby Heenan had a wardrobe full of affliction. And, you know, they're talking about Jericho's music and Jericho is putting over the fans and, you know, talking about Dan Lambert just whines and complains. And Jericho took a line from Mike Tyson that everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. So they issued a challenge. Jericho and Hager versus Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page. And Lambert says that they're certainly not going to do it in a shithole that is Jersey. MJF called Jersey the armpit of America, which is pretty funny. Didn't he say something like, what is Taylor Ham? I don't know if that's the name, but Bruce Springsteen and the New Jersey Devils have in common. And they're like the Jersey Shore women, and they just suck hard. I mean, how come people not get triggered off of that? Oh, epic promo. But Jericho says, which one's on top? Misogynist. Weird people out there, man. Weird people. So, bottom line is, Jericho says, if you're too much of a pussy, yes, he used that word, to face us in New Jersey, then we'll face you in New York. And I don't know if it's going to catch on, but when Lambert was making fun of Jericho's song, Jericho said that Lambert should have a song, I'm a fat-faced dipshit, yeah, 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 I'm a fat-faced dipshit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm a fat-faced dipshit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It almost sounds like what I used to say. I get no crowd poppy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Remember that? I get no crowd poppy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we got that match next week. Again, pay-per-view quality matches. Maybe this match doesn't sound that, but you know what? Props to AEW for putting, you know, some, you know, decent quality names to go up against, you know, Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky. I could do without the MMA influence at ringside. If they're not going to do anything, you know, I'm not saying that they're not intimidating, but when you have seven people there and four of them are legit big-time MMA fighters and they're just standing there doing nothing, you know, it kind of looks a little goofy after a while. Jade Cargill over Layla Hirsch, you know, I just don't understand why they put Layla Hirsch against Cargill. I understand why they did it. Layla Hirsch, she lives in Jersey now. To get the bigger baby face pop being in her home state where she currently resides. to get Jade Cargill over even more. But again, you know, I've been talking about Layla Hirsch for quite some time now, and tonight didn't change my mind at all, you know, as far as how AEW utilizes her. So, yeah, I do look goofy, Dream. Absolutely. I'm no prize. I could sing that song, too. I'm a fat dipshit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm a fat dipshit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Brian Danielson, little interview segment, which was a little odd because what's the purpose of the backstage 30 seconds of comments if he's going to be in the ring anyway? But Brian Danielson talking about, you know, why he wanted to go to AEW and you're going to get the top Brian Danielson. He wants to fight the top. And Brian Danielson comes out to be interviewed by Tony Schiavone. Huge pop from Brian Anderson. I think Adam Cole got a bigger pop than Brian Anderson tonight. Just saying. But he's interrupted by Don Callis. Kenny Omega hits the ring also. And Don Callis is laying it in on Daniel Bryan, saying, like, you know, you say you're coming here for better for wrestling in this today. He calls him a sanctimonious son of a bitch. And Don Callis says that, you know, he thought Daniel Bryan was a piece of shit, but he realizes that he's not a piece of shit. He's just a mark like the fans out there. And they're going back and forth. And Daniel Bryan says, you know, how's about him versus Kenny Omega? Now, at this point, we're at 9:40. Now, I realized we were going to get Moxley and Kingston versus 2.0, which I thought was a really odd way to close it out. But then again, with Minoru Suzuki showing up, yeah. All right, make it up to him, close out the show. But at one point, I think a lot of people expected those two guys to fight tonight. I saw a few people I was chatting with. They're like, holy shit, you know, they're going to have the match tonight. And, you know, they didn't emphasize next week. But, you know, Daniel Bryan trying to get Kenny Omega to agree to the match. And he said that he came to AEW and he thought he was going to be with the best wrestler in the world, or he said all he sees is a guy that hangs out with a bunch of stooges who let this piece of shit Don Callis talk for him. And Daniel Bryan said that he heard the rumors that Kenny Omega may have lost the step, and then he realized that that's not true. He said Kenny Omega lost his balls. So Kenny Omega gets a little angry. You want the match, you got it. So next week we're getting Kenny Omega versus Brian Danielson. I don't believe the title is on the line. But still, you know, I think we said last week that maybe these two guys are going to fight in New York, and we are getting it, so it's good. And then you have Moxley and Kingston be 2.0. You know, fun match, but I think a little bit rushed. And after the match is over, Lance Archer and Minoru Suzuki come out. Big wild brawl to close out AEW. And overall, a fun night. Fun night. I mean, if you look at the matches on paper, you know, you look back in issues, you'd be like, oh, you know, okay card. But all of the vignettes and the promos and back and forth. And the one that I didn't even talk about yet was CM Punk. Watching Green Hook put CM Punk in a dragon sleeper, I laughed. I mean, yes, Hobbs wailed CM Punk from behind, and that looked great. Hobbs looked great in this segment. What happened was we had CM Punk on commentary, and right before Darby Allin's match, which I thought was interesting, Taz comes out with Green Hook, and Taz is insulting Punk. Punk gets up. Punk puts the headset down. When you put the headset down, you start walking away from the table. Usually something happens. Hobbs wails him from behind. And while Punk is down, Green Hook picks him up and puts a dragon sleeper on him. And see if Punk is like this. And I was like, oh, that's cute. But then Hobbs, not only I am the table, everybody, I am the Lucite table. Hobbs powerbombs CM Punk through the announcer's table, and it was not your regular breakable table, and CM Punk just went splat on that table. Excalibur probably exaggerating, saying it was a Lucite table. But, yeah, that looked like it kind of hurt a little bit. CM Punk obviously brought to the back, no longer a commentator for the night. So we should get Powerhouse Hobbs versus Punk next week. I would think they're going to do that match. Fine. No problem with it. I mean, I know a lot of people are a little bit upset already, saying, like, why are they using CM Punk already for commentating? Why is he fighting Hobbs? What do you want him to do? Just wrestle main events? Main event matches every time? No. You know, he's going to get matches and help bring up some of these younger guys also. That's why I said, the only reason why I really can't fault anything with AEW right now is because they're mixing in the young guys with it. And again, you know, I'll get into a couple of super chats very quick. And, you know, with Crazy Cruiserweight, I appreciate everybody's opinions. I appreciate everybody's. You know, but when he says, I don't know how you could say pro wrestling is pretty good or great. Not to sound bitter, but AEW is so uncool. AEW makes pro wrestling fan, makes a pro wrestling fan bad. No, if you're going to focus on the fans, and I know you do, because I see a lot of your comments, and, you know, I agree with some and I disagree with others. We point out those over-the-top fans, but you don't enjoy a product based on how fans are reacting or not reacting to it. You got to like it for yourself. And honestly, AEW is much different than WWE, much different than NXT, and it is enjoyable. And when you have 15,000 people at the top of their seat screaming and yelling, all right, maybe, you know, they just feel like WWE is too uncool. You know, maybe NXT is too uncool or whatever. You know, they have a right. It's where you take the crazy fans and you give them press, because then you're just as bad as them. When I see whacked out fans say some really stupid shit online, and then people run like, wow, you know, I can't agree with this. You're doing exactly what that person wants. You're giving them attention. And you're just as bad because you're looking for attention or for their attention. If you see a whack job online, you don't let it ruin your experience. And I don't let these over the top. I have a lot of friends online that really enjoy AEW, and they're not crazy. I come on these shows every week and I say, everyone, be loud and proud of whatever you follow in wrestling. You love AEW? Speak loud. Be loud and proud about it. You love NXT? Love WWE? SmackDown? Be loud and proud. Notice I left Raw out. I think Raw will get better. But, you know, if it's uncool to be loud and proud, you know, that's your choice. But I come up here and I try to bring out what's good about this stuff. So, you know, if you feel that pro wrestling is not great right now, I don't know what pro wrestling will be able to do for you to become great. I said a month ago that I think the last 5.5 months of 2021 might be some of the greatest 5.5 months in my lifetime of being a wrestling fan since 79. I mean, you know, when you had the Monday Night Wars, it was awesome. When you had around 05 with WWE and that fantasy roster, it was awesome. When I grew up in the 80s, witnessing WrestleMania, that was awesome. But as far as a 5.5 month span of just every week, something awesome, blockbuster, I know awesome is a very overused word these days, as mid is becoming now. Too many people using the word mid. So, I friendly disagree with you. Big Armada 1988. And you know what, Cruiserweight? It's like what Johnny Gargano said earlier today. You can have your beliefs on what wrestling should be, but he always believed that wrestling could be whatever you want it to be. Whatever you want it to be. You want 5-star, straight up, more honor matches. Because when Ring of Honor first came out, there was a nice little niche of a fan base that liked holding the rope, keeping, you know, being respectful. You know, there's all different types. You make it how you want it to be. When you get a reaction, even if it's Dexter Lumis saying, "I do" yesterday, and everybody popped. I saw people all over, "This is the stupidest shit I ever saw." Well, you make wrestling whatever you want it to be. But for other people that enjoyed it, just because you didn't enjoy it doesn't mean that they're wrong, doesn't mean that they're stupid, doesn't mean that they don't know what they're talking about. You know, people got to respect what people like. Big Armada, he liked NXT last night. It was refreshing to see actual new faces getting a shot for once instead of indie darlings. Yeah, we'll talk about NXT in a few moments. Obviously, we don't have to spend as much time as tonight because AEW just throws loads and loads of people out there. Last night, for me, it came down to a select few. But you got to understand what NXT now is. Stop with the Vince McMahon, Bruce Pritchard stuff. That's bullshit. That's nonsense. And I'll prove it to you right now. OVW, Leviathan, Batista, the prototype, John Cena, Randy Orton, Shelton Benjamin, Brock Lesnar back then. Were they all being groomed to wrestle for Ring of Honor? Were they all groomed to wrestle for Japan? Were they all groomed to wrestle some of these niche promotions out there? No, they were groomed to come up to Raw or SmackDown or both at that time. Where do you think these NXT wrestlers are going to go? MLW? Are they being groomed to go to Impact? Are they being groomed to go to Mexico and wrestle Idolo? No. They're being developed and groomed to be future stars for Raw and SmackDown. So when you see a wedding on NXT, yeah, that is, oh, that's something you would see on Raw and SmackDown. Yeah. When you see some of the stuff you see, well, that's Vince and Bruce riding it, or that's their influence. Yeah, that's where it's been since 2010. You know, when Bayley came to the main roster, they took her hugger thing and they did inflatable things and all this. What do you think NXT is? What do you think it always should have been? What it was before? People last night complaining, they're looking for indie quality events. We have some big names on there and four-star matches, an epic, unbelievable. No, it's character development. It's learning to wrestle. And I want to make a couple of points because I am freaking stoked to see Emily Anzulis, Ivy Nile. I didn't see one motherfucker talk about her last night. Keep her name on your radar. Keep her name on your radar. That's what last night was all about. Last night it was about Rick Steiner's son, Bronson, Rex Steiner. Even this guy, even though I think he's better suited to be the lurch on the new Monsters or something, that's what last night was about. Carmelo Hayes, Trick, that's what it was about. Legado del Fantasma, Hit Row, that's what it was about. And I'll explain why. I think Ciampa taking his belt from Samoa Joe, not in a match, but I'll tell you why it was the right move. Bron Breakker. Breakker. I'm going to break her tomorrow night. Breakker. Am I talking out loud? Courtney Summers, if you just focus on the things you like and the good things happening in wrestling, it's really fun. That's why I don't really socialize on Twitter. Everybody looks for the either the one-line insults or I'm crying right now. I'm speechless right now. This is epic, unbelievable, amazing, awesome. I have chills going down my spine. I can't breathe. I'm just having so much fun. Like, I can't catch my breath. I'm yelling at the TV. I actually saw somebody right today. My neighbors were yelling and screaming, and I opened the door and asked them what it was, and they were chanting, baby! Yeah, okay. Okay. I mean, you know, I understand the over-the-top excitement. And you know what? In some ways, it's cool to see people excited like that. The only thing I wish would change is the people online, if they would just stop ripping the people that don't like the same things they do. If they would just stop that, I would be 110% with the people that when Christian had his first match in AEW, oh, what a historic moment. I'm crying right now. If I die tomorrow, I die a happy wrestling fan. You know, no, if I get some nice pussy right before I die and I get a heart attack, then I die happy. If I get to see the people I love and get to say goodbye and I know that I didn't waste my time and not spend, and then I go, then I die happy. You know, if I know I'm going down and I get to pig out like a crazy motherfucker the night before and eat every food, then I die happy. Watching someone have a first match in less than a year from the Royal Rumble, which was awesome. Christian was an awesome story, comeback story, deserving of everything he's getting right now. But when you have people like that, I would be fine. I would be fine for everyone out there that has this much emotion about wrestling. That is good. Where they kill it is where, oh man, I freaking loved NXT last night. The 2.0, and that, what are you, fucking stupid? What are you, fucking retarded? Look at the fucking, it looks like some fucking, like Picasso masturbated on a fucking, on a canvas. What the hell is that shit? 2.0. What are they ripping off? Everize 2.0? What the fuck is wrong with you? Hey, look at these people. They got some old guy in the middle who's only 36 years old. Look, you got some guy doing the Sopranos thing. Joey Ariola, now he's Tony D'Angelo. We got a fucking wedding. What the fuck is this shit? Yeah. Yeah. What is it? It's WWE developmental, stupid. If you don't like it, don't watch it. And if other people like it, respect that they like it. I feel that there are a lot of very, very insecure fans out there who can't just like what they like. It goes back to the mistakes I made when I used to podcast back in 06. I've been doing it since 97. The hotlines, it was different. The hotlines, it was funny ragging on some of those wackos. But in 06, I used to call out individual podcasts like In Your Head and others. And I used to really go into them hard. And people used to say to me, dude, have people tune in. Not because they suck, but because you're good. And that always stuck with me to even now. And it's like, if you like AEW, if they got a 26% increase in the ratings last week, be happy about it. NXT yesterday did 770,000 viewers. That is at least a 20% increase. Yes, as Mish said last night on Patreon, a lot of haters definitely spiked the ratings yesterday. They expected a train wreck. Shane Douglas, I brought this up before. I had the privilege of being able to have private conversations with Shane Douglas when he did work in XPW and he did work for Frank Goodman's USA Pro Wrestling. I was the one that used to pick him up from the airport, take him to the hotel, and he would be very, very kind. He'd say, hang out for a little while. And we would talk and everything, and he would ask me about what I do and this and that, and I would tell him like insurance stuff. He's like, you do anything with wrestling? And I would tell him some of the things I do. And yeah, trolls back in 02. And he said a phrase to me in 2002 that has always stuck with me that I've said on these shows to this day. He says, where I come from, there's a phrase, talk good about me, talk bad about me, just talk about me. Period. And honestly, that's what it's about. Talk good about me, talk bad about me, just talk about me. And last night, a lot of those haters that tuned in because they thought they were going to get a train wreck, they did not get a train wreck. Last night's show was excellent. It was excellent because you have to understand what they're trying to do now. They're trying to elevate Carmelo Hayes. They're trying to elevate Bron Breakker. They're trying to even elevate, you know, Cal Bloom's son. They're looking to elevate some of these younger stars. Tommaso Ciampa. I wanted Pete Dunne to win because I am a huge fan of Pete Dunne. Last night, I started really thinking about it, and when I saw this picture at the end of NXT, it freaking hit me like a ton of bricks. I do not believe for 1 second Samoa Joe is injured. I think if you pay attention to Tommaso Ciampa's gimmick, character, I think that's better, character, for the last year, his character is he's the grizzled veteran. Remember when he came back that the young locker room is disrespectful and he's the grizzled veteran and maybe he's outdated and everything, but he's going to fight. I brought this up last night. Samoa Joe is injury prone, but the timing is too perfect. The day before NXT's 2.0, come on. This is what I believe happened. When Samoa Joe came back, when they had him interact with the roster, who did he interact with? He choked out Adam Cole. He ended up having a match with Karrion Kross. He teased a little dissension with Johnny Gargano. He went back and forth with Pete Dunne. You see what's missing in there? He didn't go back and forth with Carmelo Hayes. He didn't go back and forth with the really young guys in the promotion. He went back and forth with all of the fantasy matches that a lot of people wanted to see. And now, because NXT is going back to its roots and being developmental, which is what gave you Sasha Banks and Asuka and Bayley, and yes, a lot of wrestlers were already ready for primetime, coming from Japan and others. They didn't even need NXT, but still they did. But they're going back to their roots, and which of the two wrestlers makes sense to go up against when you look at their ages? When you see Bron Breakker, if he was opposite Samoa Joe right now in that picture, you think people would fantasize Samoa Joe against a lot of these young up-and-coming guys? No, because Samoa Joe has been on our mainstream TV for so many years. People want to see Joe main event and take on all the established big names. Ciampa, with his whole character, he is the grizzled veteran trying to hold on to his career, and now he is the champion, and all the young lions are going to be gunning for him. That's why you had Bron Breakker be the first to confront. He had his first match yesterday. He took on LA Knight and beat him, which I thought was really weird since LA Knight was in the title match later on. But still, Bron Breakker is on NXT for 2 hours. His entire career is 2 hours. And not only does everybody fucking think he is a star in the making, but they go off the air with him with a 2-hour WWE career face-to-face with the champion. That is why Tommaso Ciampa is champion right now and Samoa Joe is not. You may not like that NXT is not going to give us the big names like they used to. You may not like some of the names that will be released in the very near future because there are a few releases coming. I do not throw names out there. It's disrespectful, especially if you end up being wrong. The last thing I ever want to do is have someone say, wow, I heard about my release from the fucking internet, or, oh, these people are talking about my release. I didn't get released. No, I don't play that. I'll comment after it's official. But some people may not like that the bloated salaries are gone. Yeah, the bloated salaries are gone. They're going back to developmental. And look, you know, when Scott Steiner first got into wrestling, nobody knew the name Steiner. He came in as, I think he came in as actual last name. They built a legendary career. You see Braun Breaker's name, oh, it's just like Joe Henning. They couldn't just call him Joe Henning. They called him Curtis Axel. Even though Joe Henning paid tribute to his family. People got triggered about Braun Breaker's name yesterday. Why don't you ask Braun Breaker, who came up with the name? When the answer you get doesn't fit your narrative, what are you going to say? Sure, Braun. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we believe. Please. The guy looked like $1 million yesterday. He sounds like Rick Steiner. He looks a lot like Rick Steiner. He's got it. And he only has a two-hour career. A two-freaking-hour career. Thank you again, Devin M. Sorry that you had to super chat me to let me know I was buffering, but at least I know that it was from technical issues from YouTube and not anything else what we were talking about earlier. Much love, my friend. So fly, Bemore. You don't want to put too much pressure on the Creed brothers, but they could possibly be a modern-day Steiner brothers. Look, I think that they're very, very plain. Very plain. But hell, man, we've seen people come up in developmental, and by the time they come up to the main roster, they look completely different. Now, I'm not trying to go to some extreme here. But I'll give you a point. Tony D'Angelo. Hey, Tony D'Angelo. Everybody's saying, hey, Tony D. Tony D. That was my DJ name back in the day. DJ Tony D. It was Tony Blas and then it was Tony D. Tony D'Angelo. Go look at Joe Arriola. NCAA wrestler. Go look at his look when he first signed with WWE not too long ago when he's wearing the Performance Center shirt. Joe Arriola and Tony D'Angelo look like two totally different people. So the Creed brothers, not concerned right now because there's plenty of time to tweak looks. Just let them do what they're doing. Fans are into the work. And we see where it goes from here. We'll see where it goes from here. But yes, the Creed brothers, not bad. Yesterday they beat Jarman and Trevor Skelly, which I don't know if they're brothers too. I think they might have been. I wasn't paying that much attention to the match. But my God, after their win and Malcolm Bivens it makes it official, Ivy Nile, Emily Anzulis, take note that they didn't hide from where she came from and where she appeared on NBC. Now, I guarantee you, everybody last night was like, Ivy Nile, NBC, what are they talking about? And when they went and they looked and they saw, oh, Emily Anzulis. Yeah. Yeah. They're not hiding her career. They're showing her background. She is freaking legit. I'm telling you, from last night, you had at least five people that people aren't used to seeing that impressed the shit out of you. And sure, we got to see Ivy Nile perform in the ring. But trust me, I would never lie to you like these Eva Marie stans lied to you. How many of you out there, before Eva Marie made a return, you had all these insiders saying, oh yeah, my friends that are training with Eva Marie, she's nailing it. She's knocking it out of the park. Man, no, she's taking the wrestling return seriously, dude. I watched all these people make all these claims about Eva Marie, And when Mish and I contacted one particular person that we both know that is within the business, and we said, what's going on with Eva Marie? They're not bringing her into Wrestle. A little thing here and there, but she's not brought in for that. She's brought in for eye candy and to everybody like hate her and be jealous of her. She's not coming in to be a technical wrestler, but everybody else, no, man, she's knocking it out of the park. I'm telling you, she's going to shock a lot of people when she hits the ring. I'm telling you, what I hear about Emily Anzulis, I hear nothing but great shit. Just keep in mind that she's still new to wrestling. She's got a long way to go. But I'm telling you, if she stays at it and keeps doing what she's doing, remember her. I'm telling you. Steph, how am I woman bashing? I'm fucking putting this woman over like a $1 million. Why? Because I'm not criticizing Eva Marie either. I don't know how long you've been tuning into the shows, but Mish and I have praised Eva Marie from day one because we knew exactly what her role was. Her role was never to be a wrestler again. Yeah, she's got to hit the ring a little bit here and there, but she was going to be a troll. She was going to be nasty, abusive, jealous. We praised Eva Marie. We're not talking about Eva Marie. We're talking about all the people that had to put her on a pedestal. Why? I have no idea. Did they think that they were going to get a surprise autograph photo in the mail from her? Oh, thank you for being a friend. No. Not talking about Eva Marie. Anyway, don't forget, everybody. Don't forget. Remember that. You know what I'm talking about. Remember this. We'll give it away next week. I got five, and I got more coming. And somebody, now I'm taking him at face value right now, somebody who is a friend of this person is supposed to ship me a case of CM Punk ice cream bars in dry ice. And if I get them, yes, I will unwrap and eat one live on the air, even though I'm on keto. I might give away one or two, but it probably would have to be within the United States because I don't think I could ship ice cream out of state, out of the country, and I would have to put it in dry ice where you get it within a day or two. I'm not spending $90 to ship somebody an ice cream bar. Stay tuned. And by the way, thank you to that person within WWE who sent us all those Bray Wyatt Focos last week. Very, very generous of you. I already told this person, get me a couple of Charlie dolls. So we might have some Charlie dolls in the near future. So, yeah, I want to try one. You know, like I said, the thing about the ice cream bar is there's no nutritional information on here. I always thought within the United States you get fined if you don't put the calorie content, the carbohydrates. It just shows the ingredients. And my glasses are not good enough. I can't even read this. But this is exactly what I said it is. This label, this company, pretty cool, they use this same label for other ice cream bars. All they did was take Avery labels and they printed on a printer the CM Punk middle label and they just stuck it on the wrapper. They just took a dollar ice cream bar. You know, they didn't use any special ingredients. They didn't call CM Punk, hey, what's your favorite bakery ingredient? What's your favorite ice cream? You know, anybody ever notice it's not CM Punk's favorite flavor? You didn't see CM Punk say, my favorite flavor. What's the flavor? Chocolate-covered vanilla bean ice cream bar. Vanilla bean is just fucking vanilla ice cream. It's vanilla ice cream with a chocolate coating on it. You could have put on here anybody from Chicago. The Sammy Sosa chocolate-covered vanilla cream ice cream bar. Oh, I almost said something that would have got my ass in trouble, but I am not. But that's what it was. Welcome to the world of merchandising. Good for this company to make the money they are. That's all they did. You look at it close. The labels aren't even professionally put on. They just thought somebody went and stuck it on there. You get these graded from like Beckett. Hey, could you grade? Look at this one. What do you think Beckett would grade that sticker? Look how it's put on. Somebody was just like, I hope the ice cream is good though. get in. Anyway, shout out to the trolls. This will be the last night that you'll only be able to give 99 cents, though. My friends, thank you, as always, for your super chats. There's a few people that troll, and they want to pay the money to troll. By all means, go ahead. Give me money. Fine. Fine. You'll have to pay a little bit more for it, starting probably tomorrow. Be warned. And thank you, Austin Nance, for running the helm. He was just going to be a guest moderator for 1 week. I think he has earned his pay. So props to Austin. Probably going to add another moderator. Just don't be fighting with each other, you know? So anyway, getting back to NXT. Sorry for making this personal right now. Anybody that has followed me for years, you've heard me always say, as far as me personally, I am not into blondes. I'm into brunettes. That's just me. In my entire life, I haven't dated a lot of people in my entire life, but every single one was a brunette. One kind of had like dirty blonde streaks, but I was always into brunettes, not blondes. And whenever I used to see Mandy Rose, you would hear me say on this show, you know, yeah, you know, all right, but, you know, I'm more into brunettes. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Back to her natural color. Toxic Attraction, everybody. JC Jane, Gigi Dolan, Mandy Rose. That is their new faction, Toxic Attraction. Thank you. Thank you. Interesting. Now, a lot of people aren't aware that's her pretty close to her natural color. Yes, as Ben said yesterday, you know, they had to dye her hair because it would take way too long for her to grow out the blonde. But, yeah, man, talk about transforming. Yeah, I like that yesterday. You know, the tag match, I think it was very predictable. Casey Catanzaro, Kayden Carter, they're taking on Gigi Dolan, JC Jane. DQ, enter Mandy Rose, enter Saray, ends up in a six-woman tag. Toxic Attraction wins. Everybody last night talking about Mandy's hair color change. I thought Mandy looked great in the ring. Blonde or brunette. She could have been bald. She's hot and she knows it. Good for her. B-Fab versus Katrina Cortez. It's just to escalate the feud. You know the women were going to go at it at some point. Not everything has to be perfect. It was what it was. Imperium over Josh Briggs and Brooks Jensen. Imperium without Walter. I get the same vibe as the Grizzled Young Veterans. Sorry. And you see what has happened to the Grizzled Young Veterans. When I was doing a quarter hour ratings every week, you heard me say repeatedly how it's not just how bad the quarter hour ratings were, but the big drop. They would always be either the top or the second highest drop in viewership when their matches came on, no matter where they were placed on the card, except for the first quarter because there was no wrestling prior to that quarter, so you couldn't see a ratings drop. And if you remember, I said they're probably going to have to put Imperium, Grizzly Young Veterans in comedy skits to try to connect with the fans, and they did that little thing with Cameron Grimes and LA Knight, and, you know, it kind of worked a little bit. Where has that gone since? So Imperium without Walter gives me the same vibes. Just my opinion. I'm just being honest. They're very talented, but still, I think if I look at the quarter hour ratings this week, I will not be surprised if Imperium is one of the lowest quarter hour ratings of the night. Ridge Holland squashing Drake Maverick. I don't know if he's going to ultimately stay on the main roster now. He's showing up in the 24/7 skits with R-Truth and Tozawa. You know, look, if he's one that wants to work both shows to contribute and keep his job, fine. I got to see Ridge Holland go to the next level. You know I am a huge fan of Ridge Holland. When he was out injured, we were very concerned, you know, what he would be if he ever got back into the ring, and he looks great. Let's just hope no serious injury again. But that pretty much was a squash last night. We talked about the other matches. And then the four-way. Tommaso Ciampa beating Pete Dunne, LA Knight, and Von Wagner. Now, you know, the storyline with Kyle O'Reilly being taken out of the match and injured, quote-unquote, I don't know why they did what they did. I don't know if they just felt, okay, look, let's keep the focus on these guys. You know what it reminded me of with Von Wagner in the match yesterday? It reminded me of a cross of Baron Corbin when I absolutely fucking hated him and didn't want him on my TV at all. This is early on when we were watching him on TV. Like, why are they putting him in this match? That's the feeling I got yesterday. And the same, it's like a cross between that and, please don't get mad at me when I say this, Big Cass. When Big Cass was put in the four-way to determine the Universal Championship. Remember that? Remember the four-way? Kevin Owens? Remember the Big Cass was put in that? And don't get me wrong, I loved Enzo and Cass at the time. But I remember a lot of us saying, like, why are they putting Big Cass in this match? I mean, looking back on it, it was to test the waters, see how he would go. Last night, I had similar feeling, like, you know, I understand it's developmental, but this, you know, they did a lot of damage with William Regal over the last year and a half. William Regal, in a lot of ways, turned into a goof and would make decisions that were just stupid in storyline. You look at that entire roster. Why would William Regal, to determine the new NXT champion, why would you put Van Hammer, Von Brommer, Van Boom, Cal Blue, whatever you want to call him. Why would you put him in that match? You know, if you wanted to make any sense, you know what I mean, obviously they didn't want to do this, but they wanted to make sense. It would have made more sense for William Regal to go up to Bron Breakker and say, you impressed me so much earlier this night. How would you like a opportunity in the match? That would have made more sense. To have this guy, and he's not a bad wrestler, but if you notice yesterday, he was stumbling a little bit. I don't know if it was nerves, but like I said, for me, he looks like if WWE Films wants to do another horror flick, he looks like the perfect like monster for a horror film. I don't know. To me, he's got that horror film face. Something about him. But they put him in that match. It was okay, but Ciampa gets the win, and as I said earlier, Ciampa fits in perfect. The whole Ciampa character against the young guns of NXT, that makes a whole lot more sense than Samoa Joe. And that's NXT's fault. That's not Samoa Joe's fault. NXT teased Samoa Joe against all the big names. And now because they're focusing on developmental once again, Samoa Joe suddenly focusing on the young and up-and-comers doesn't seem to fit. Ciampa fits much, much better. And I got news for you. Ciampa probably is a little bit more quick in the ring. He's obviously more quick in the ring. And Ciampa probably could go toe-to-toe with some of these guys a little bit better. And Ciampa's not as old as people think. And I brought that up before. People online joke about Ciampa like he's 50 years old. And Ciampa's in his mid-30s. He's younger than a lot of wrestlers that people are clamoring about right now. So, yeah, why not? You know, I saw somebody write, I don't know if it was Sam Roberts, but he wrote that Tommaso Ciampa is the Terry Funk of NXT. Now, that's a stretch, but I understand why he said it. And I said with AEW, Jericho is the Terry Funk of AEW. You needed that one veteran person to be a leader inspiration everybody goes to, but could also still do it in the ring, but also with the character that they might be, you know, going towards the tail end of their career. The difference between Terry Funk and Tommaso Ciampa is that Terry Funk was 53 years old when he won the ECW championship in 1997. He was 53. Terry Funk was 17 years older than Tommaso Ciampa. So you would have to take Terry Funk from 19... Okay, he was 53, so you would have to go 17 years back. That would be 1980. Think about that. Terry Funk in the year 1980 was the same age. No, I'm sorry. No, 1984. Yeah, 1984. Terry Funk in 1984, before he even beat the fuck out of, who was that pedophile again? The one that liked to play with kids' feet? You know, he took Terry Funk's hat. Oh, God, I'm drawing a blank. Mel Phillips. I mean, that's before he beat the fuck out of Mel Phillips. Terry Funk, 1984, was the same age as Tommaso Ciampa. So, yes, but not. I mean, ECW in 1993 was the land of the misfits. You got treated with a little bit of Eddie Gilbert, God rest his soul. You had some wrestlers make an appearance. It's Jimmy Snuka way past his prime, Don Morocco for a little while. But you had a lot of up-and-coming names and maybe some misfit toys that would never get an opportunity at the big time. NXT doesn't give me that same vibe, and the AEW certainly doesn't give me that same vibe. But the climate and the fans and the rabbit, you know, that I could see. But last night, yeah, it breaks my heart that Terry Funk is 77 now, man. The years fly by so fast. My God, when I was on that shoot interviewing, you know, gotten to ask him a couple of questions. Just think about that. Next year is 25 years since I'm on that video. 25 years! It's nuts! 25 years that I almost got arrested in a road rage incident. 25. So last night, the wedding, you know, I think some people on our Patreon misunderstood what Mish and I were talking about. We were saying, is this the best storyline wedding that we ever had? Like, successful. I mean, you look at all the weddings over the years, they end up in absolute clusterfucks. Now, we put over Bischoff as the minister. That makeup job is amazing, especially at that time. But, you know, after the show, a lot of people like, well, what about Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth? Well, they were a real life husband and wife, and yes, the vows on TV were a storyline, but you're talking about a real life husband and wife. Indy Hartwell and Dexter Lumis are not in real life husband and wife. We're talking about storyline, two characters that are just coming together in holy matrimony. I don't put Macho and Liz in that same category because they really were husband and wife. Their relationship was on the rocks and maybe even non-existent at that time, but still, you knew that they were married at some point in their real life career. Indy Hartwell and Dexter, we're talking about two total strangers playing characters on TV put together in a wedding. Might have been the best one with the best outcome. But, you know, if you remember, we joked a few times, what would Dexter Lumis's first words be? And we narrowed it down, a lot of you narrowed it down to either on TV is going to say to Indy, I love you, or he would say, I do. And last night, you know, I joked about this earlier. A lot of people, you know, they look at that hatchet, the axe, and they think, oh my God, he's being a murderer. Now, I don't think in storyline they're going to have Dexter Lumis hack Indy. I don't even want to finish that sentence. If you Google and you go on Etsy, you go on eBay, that is a groomsmen joke to give your groomsmen hatchets. It's actually a joke in wedding. But still, Dexter Lumis, because, you know, the way Beth Phoenix talking to, you know, the way she does, and then Indy Hartwell saying her vows yesterday and trying to make him come off as this kidnapper and this and that, and he's showing the hatchet, you know, you're supposed to think terrible things. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it last night. That crowd popped. It was goofiness. So what? Seriously, so what? I saw people triggered yesterday that the wedding closed out NXT instead of the four-way match. If you use that logic, then would you be upset that Adam Cole was the curtain jerker tonight? I think tonight with AEW proved of what I've been saying for years on these shows. I don't care who opens the show. I don't care who closes out the show. Give me good matches, and that's fine with me. I'd rather Adam Cole have a kick-ass match to open up the show than to main event and it be average or even suck. Period. Period. I had no problem with that wedding going off the air yesterday. The crowd loved it. Everybody that was in the sitting around was hilarious. The minister getting choked out by Dexter Lumis was freaking funny. You know, you have Ikemen Jiro, and like, where's the rings? I mean, it's just goofy. Everybody, this is the thing about last night. I think those who really paid attention, every wrestler that took part in that, they looked like they were having fun. And that crowd looked like they were having fun. And when Dexter Lumis said, I do, and then, well, he did this first, and then he said, I do, crowd popped. As Johnny Gargano said, and I will end the show the same way I opened up. Johnny Gargano wrote earlier today, you can have your beliefs on what wrestling should be, but I've always believed that wrestling can be whatever you want it to be. It could be serious, goofy, outlandish, whatever, as long as it makes you feel something. When you get a real reaction, it's untouchable. As ridiculous it was of Linda McMahon just getting up out of the wheelchair, as ridiculous as that was, or seeing CM Punk make his return. Of course, CM Punk's return is a trillion times much more memorable and epic. My point is, you get reactions and people are invested in this. That's what you want. You know, there's going to be goofy moments in AEW. We've seen a couple of goofy moments already. If you enjoyed it, that's all that matters. And that's it. That's really it. You know, I liked both shows very much. Very different shows. And look, I know what's going to happen now. And you haven't seen it yet, but you will. You're now going to start seeing people compare NXT's rating to Rampage. That's what you're going to start seeing. AEW's ratings are going to go up, they're going to go down. NXT's ratings are going to go up, they're going to go down. Some wrestlers who are not over right now in NXT have a long way to go. I wish, you have no idea how much I wished that I would have been able to see Heartland Wrestling, OVW, every week on TV. Back in the 90s, early 2000s, and we would hear about these guys coming up. We would tape trade with some people, but you really got just a slight little glimpse. And Mish and I talked about it last night. Could you imagine if social media was around at the time that Batista was the prototype, I mean, you know, he probably would have got a little bit of a hard time. You know, not all these wrestlers were all like great at that time, but they were given the opportunity to develop and gel and hone their craft and get better and get better and get better. And you see it being put together. I wish we were able nationwide to watch OVW every week. I wish I would have been able to see and not just go to a wrestling event a year later and then somebody has a bootleg. Oh, the best of OVW, volume one. Oh, let me get that. By that time, the wrestlers already developed. I wanted to see it week by week and watch it being put together. That's what's beautiful about it. We didn't get that privilege. You get it with NXT. Now you get it with AEW with their dark. It's on YouTube. Fine. But you're getting to see it in real time. That's why I hate those botch accounts. When you see someone that's still trying to, you know, develop and hone their craft and they screw up, everybody screws up. You know? And then it becomes entertainment for people out there. You know, I remember in ECW in 93, 94, there was a wrestler, JT Smith. JT Smith turned it into a gimmick. JT Smith, even though he thought he was a full-blooded Italian at some points, but JT Smith would fuck up. And some of his fuck-ups were really, really messed up. He fell on his head. Mike Awesome almost broke his back once. And this guy would have some horrible botches. And the crowd would chant, "You fucked up. You fucked up." And believe me, a lot of wrestlers got angry at that shit. Then JT Smith started using it as a gimmick. I remember he wrestled, I think, Little Guido or Hack Myers or something. He climbed the top rope and he purposely just tumbled over. And people started realizing, oh, he's doing that on purpose now. But, you know, wrestlers don't like to hear, "You fucked up. You fucked up." I mean, sure, you want them to do better. But to celebrate it, especially when someone is as up and coming, I just think is wrong. Especially when you hide behind a profile that nobody knows who you are. Nobody knows what you look like other than when you were a baby or when you were, you know, 20, 20, 30 years ago. I think that's messed up, but that's just me. So anyway, I'm going to jet out of here. We're at exactly 2 hours tonight, and the conversation continues tomorrow. I will be here tomorrow, 10.05 p.m. Q&A. We will definitely be taking calls, so get ready. Talk AEW, NXT. What did you think about NXT 2.0? What did you think about some of the wrestlers that are getting introduced to us? What'd you think of AEW tonight? Want to talk Raw, SmackDown, Draft? This Saturday, you know, last 2 weeks I did the Don Tony show on Saturday. Now, last Saturday I dedicated the show to 9/11. This Saturday, we're going to go back to, you know, discussing Rampage and SmackDown, but Mish is going to be joining me. And we are going to dedicate a good portion of the show to predict the draft. Not just predict what we think is going to happen with the WWE draft. We're going to look at both rosters and we're going to give not only who we think might be jumping brands, but why some people should jump brands. And, you know, one thing that we joked about yesterday was, could you imagine if Brock Lesnar gets drafted to Raw before he gets a match with Roman Reigns? I know that sounds almost crazy to think about, but that's not it out of the norm. So, you know, we'll talk about it on Saturday, but if time, because we're starting early, we're starting at 8 o'clock, so we have a little bit extra time to spend. So, you know, we'll have some great convo on Saturday, but tomorrow night, I will be prepared. You want to talk Impact, you want to talk AEW, whatever is on your mind. So you'll have the opportunity to call in tomorrow. But yeah, that's pretty much it. So everyone, on your way out, if you don't mind, if you enjoyed the show, I'd appreciate it if you hit that like button. It helps more than you know. Believe me when I tell you, it really does. If you haven't subscribed already, consider subscribing. And if you have any friends out there that you think would like the channel, tell them to check it out. You know, Mondays we focus mostly on Raw and news that occurs over the weekend. We take some calls as well, most weeks, unless the news is really big. Wednesdays is AEW and NXT. Thursdays is Q&A and whatever you want to talk about. It doesn't just have to be wrestling. And Saturday is Little SmackDown, Little Rampage, any news that breaks or develops, and whatever else you want to get into. So trying to make every show a little different. And then obviously we have Patreon, and we kicked off that comfort food tournament yesterday, which it just blows my mind how many people already voted in the last like 16 hours. So that in itself was pretty fun yesterday. Left me hungry. But I hope you all have a great night. Post in the comment section what you thought about the shows. Don't forget the hashtag if you want to be part of something for next week. You know, pretty cool. Pretty cool. See, there you go. Pretty cool. Yeah, it is pretty cool. All right, everybody. Be well. Much love. And I will talk to you all again soon. Good night, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.